Well, I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18 this morning, and I'd like us to read the last verse in this chapter, but we're going to look at a number of verses today because I want to speak to you on the theme of the foundation for wise friendships. Outside of your salvation, making wise choices concerning your friendships is one of the most important life skills that you'll ever learn. It's really one of the most important decisions that you will ever learn. Why? Why is that so important? Because it is a part of setting the direction of your life. For example, in the early stage of your life, your direction is being shaped by your family, your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, where you grow up. But this changes when you leave high school. In high school, you live with your parents and you visit your friends. In college, you live with your friends and you visit your parents. And the rest of your life going forward is going to be shaped by your friends. Therefore, learning principles of friendships based on the wisdom of God and a biblical worldview is absolutely essential for both a fulfilling life and a useful life. You cannot underestimate the importance of friend choices. And let me also say that the downhill and the destruction of many people can be traced back to a poor choice in friendships. Amnon, the son of David, had a friend, the Bible says. His name was Jonadab. And Jonadab advised him to follow a path of evil, and it led to his destruction. You show me your friend set, and I'll show you where your life is heading. It's really that simple. So with this in mind this morning, let's look at just the Bible and try to capture in our thinking how it is that we develop right friends and be aligned with the purpose of God. And this morning I'd like to talk about five key important things that are foundational for wise relationships. The first one is this, that friendships must be carefully chosen. Let's look at Proverbs 18 and verse 24. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." You know, when you come to Bob Jones University as a freshman, you're sort of overwhelmed in some ways with the largeness of the campus and your class, because most of you are in a class that has between 700 and 800 people. So you're meeting people like crazy. Everything is new. Class is new. Society is new. Activities are new. Ignite is new. And you're meeting all of these people, and it's sort of like you're spreading out like peanut butter. And there's all these kind of different people that you're meeting. But by the time that you graduate, your friend set is relatively small. If you graduate with 2 or 3 really close friends, you're really a blessed person. Let me say it this way. If you leave this life with 2 or 3 or 4 close friends, you are really a very blessed person. So when we think about the matter of friendships, the first thing I want to say is that friends have to be carefully chosen. The Bible tells us here that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The word stick is very interesting. It's the same word used in Genesis 2:24, where it says that a man shall cleave to his wife. It means to be connected, to fasten yourself, to be stuck or glued together like gorilla glue. It means to be close to one another. And so what do we see here? We see that friendships must always be carefully chosen. The two most important choices that I made in college, number one was to choose to follow Jesus. That was when I was a freshman. And number two, my sophomore year, to choose good friends. And both of them go together. You can't follow Jesus and have bad friends. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Friendship requires direction. You're walking together towards the same purpose. If I follow Jesus, I will choose friends that follow Jesus. It's that simple. But it may be that Jesus will choose friends for you as you follow Him. In other words, as you choose to follow the Lord, it's often that another person will be with you. It's like the two guys on the remote Emmaus Road who were walking together, and who came with them? Jesus came with them. So if you follow Jesus, God providentially will bring into your life people who are going in the same direction. We often find ourselves meeting people who come into our lives, who become our friends, and we were not looking for them, but God brought them into your life. When I was a student here at Bob Jones, I met a fellow who had transferred here he had actually gone to a couple of other schools, and he was dating a girl who was a friend of the girl that I was dating. And so I never met him, never knew him. He came from California. I was from South Carolina. We came from two different worlds. And actually, personality-wise, we were very different. But when we met in 1979, it was almost as if we instantaneously clicked. And he became, and is still is today, my best friend. So that I called him on Saturday and asked him how he was doing. I called him on Friday and asked him how he was doing. And we have served together in ministry for many, many years. Our children grew up together and became friends. We vacationed together. We have spent hundreds of hours together, and the Lord brought us together. If you seek the Lord and others are seeking the Lord, oftentimes you'll meet each other, and in time, God providentially will bring you together, like David, who met Jonathan, and their hearts were knit together because they were following the Lord. So friendships must be carefully chosen, but oftentimes the Lord brings them in your pathway and you choose them because you're walking together. But let me also say this, that friendships have to be cultivated by continuing to choose to be friends. You see, friendship does not push themselves on one another. When you are walking together, you have to intentionally build the friendship. It's like planting a garden. You have to sow seeds. You have to water the soil. You have to pick weeds. I mentioned my good friend. There was a period in our relationship where there were some things that were tense. And instead of just walking away from each other, we pulled the weeds out of the garden. And today we're still closest friends. Friendship is an intentional thing. And I want you to compare that with your family. It doesn't mean that your family members are not your closest friends. I know in my family, I have four children, and I would say that when it comes down to friendships, my children, their closest friends are one another, their siblings. And that's true. That's going to be with you. But oftentimes, you can go grow up in a family, and there are siblings you're not as close to. What does the Bible here say? It says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Why is that? Well, with friendships, it requires careful choosing and then this continual upkeep and maintenance. Generally, you don't have to do that as much with your family because you're in the family. But over the course of one's life, oftentimes you'll spend more time with and you're closer to people that are outside your family than people that are inside your family. And that's true in my own life. I called my brother yesterday. He lives up in New York City and we spent time on the phone. But there are people in my life in some ways that I'm closer to them than I am to my own brother. And I just want to say this, that this cultivation of friendships is very challenging in a busy culture. And at Bob Jones University, it's a challenging thing. So I want to encourage you, as you develop friendships, by the time you get to be somewhere towards the middle of your sophomore year or going forward from there, your friendships begin to narrow down, but invest time in those. That's a great investment. Think about it this way. Jesus befriended 12 men. He loved them. He laid down his life for them. He spent a night in praying about who he would choose, and through those friends, he changed the world. Friendships are powerful because oftentimes God uses friends to accomplish his purposes in the world. So number one, friendships have to be chosen. Secondly, friendships have to be faithful. Look at Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A good friend will always love, both in good times and bad times. Friends are there for you when you have little, to gain and when they have little to give. They are faithful. We read in Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? There are many supposed friendships, but oftentimes they're surfacey. They are transactional. That is, they're a means to an end. What can you do for me? What can you do for me socially? What can you do for me emotionally? What can you do for me economically? They are friends who benefit you. That's what the prodigal son found out. When he left home with his father's inheritance, he went to another city. There he had friends as long as he had money. But when he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. We read in Proverbs 19:6, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. If somebody's giving something out, everybody's going to be your friend. But a true friend is not cherished for what they can give you, but for who they are. Friendship is built on the qualities of faithfulness, commitment, trust, respect, understanding, sympathy, sacrifice. Another word, which I think is a great word, we don't hardly use anymore. It's called loyalty, being loyal to your friends. The Old Testament word for loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. It really means loving loyalty. It means God's covenant love, his committed love to us. I'm going to be loyal to you. I made a decision years ago that whoever influences my children in the direction that God wants them to go, and of course a part of that is in the direction that we want them to go, whoever influences my children in the right direction, that person will always be my friend. I'm going to be loyal to you. Friendship demands loyalty. Being faithful is a part of that. And it also means being available. Good friendships have to be nurtured. They don't grow on trees they're not like fruit that grows on trees where you can just pick them. You must invest in them, even when it's inconvenient. The best friends take time. Time is always limited. It's better to have a few deep friends than many shallow friends. In the case of friendships, it may be that less is more. Jesus invested 3 years in his disciples. And what did he do? He showed his faithfulness to them by laying down his life for them. He was a friend to the end. Over my own life, I've decided these people are my friends. And if sometimes we may even have tension or disagreements, I'm going to be your friend. So, friendship requires faithfulness. Then number three, friendship is built on honesty. Proverbs 27, verse 5, better is open rebuke than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What are the faithful wounds of a friend? Have you ever had a friend wound you? Usually it's not physical. They didn't hit you in the head with a baseball bat. But generally they did something or they said something that, if we could say, wounded you. Now listen to what the Bible says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is that referring to? It's referring to the open rebuke of a genuine friend. Let me put it this way. True friends tell each other things that they need to hear even if they don't want to hear it. They're willing to tell each other things that are painful. Real friends are willing to confront each other. I remember my sophomore year of college, I went to church on a Sunday morning with a friend of mine named Jim Smith. Jim was very influential in my life. He was probably the most spiritual guy that I knew in college. Fact is, I thought he was perfect. And I remember the day that he did something that was definitely imperfect. And instead of feeling bad for him, I rejoiced that he messed up. I thought, finally, the dude sins. I can relate to the guy. And we went out to eat. His senior year, he was a captain. That was the ranking that he had. I was in a military school. And we used to call him Captain Conviction or Junior Holy Spirit. You know, he was the guy that's going to say something to you. But I didn't mind it because we were good friends and oftentimes we could laugh about it. And I remember we went out to eat after church at Burger King. And so I got a Whopper and I was first in line and I got my bag and went sat down. And I was like most Christian college students, and I wasn't even in a Christian college, you just sit down and start woofing it down. And I may have prayed. I don't remember if I prayed or not, but I didn't wait for Jim. And Jim came walking over to me, and the first words out of his mouth were, "Are you a heathen?" Man, I almost choked on my food. He says, "Don't you pray for God's blessing on the food?" Now, I was like, you know, like that's like I'm like 19, 20 years old. That's like 45 years ago. And I remember it as if he's talking to me right now. You know what? That's a good friend. A good friend is willing to speak honestly. In a generation that values transparency, how transparent are you being? If you're afraid to say what needs to be said to a friend, are you really a friend? How often did Jesus lovingly and directly confront his own friends? He said his disciples were his friends, but how often did he confront them? One day they were walking along the road and they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus was on the road with them. He heard what they said. Jesus was the guy that was driving the van and the disciples were in the back two or three seats. And by the way, the driver can always hear the conversation. So what were you guys talking about? Boom, silent. They didn't want to say because they were talking about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked them, but he did it in a way that motivated them. He said, "Oh, you guys want to be great? No problem. Just serve. You guys want to be first? Hey, no problem. Be last. Because the greatest of among you will become the servant of all." And he rebuked them, but he did it in such a tactful way that suddenly they saw the truth and it changed their life. That's what a friend will do for you. We need friends who will not only address our faults, but we need friends who know us well enough to point out our blind spots. Things about ourselves that we can't see, but everybody else can see them. Do you have friends in your life that you allow to evaluate you? I mean, I really believe if you have a close friend, you should be able to say to them, "Look, if you see anything in my life that needs to change, would you let me know?" Because giving them the permission to do that is a very important part of your life, because you can't see everything about yourself. You don't have the right perspective about yourself. But a good friend is one that you are willing to let them speak into your life. Being honest with others is risky, but it is a risk that we all need to take. Think about it. If true friendship was being developed on this campus, would we not see a thriving atmosphere of change? Are you willing to let people speak into your life? Would we not see a grassroots revival going on among us because people are speaking into our lives? I want to say this. They're probably the most important spiritual lessons about how to live the Christian life I learned from my friends in college. I'd like to show you a picture of my friends from college. This is all the close friends I had except one. You might can find me up there. I look a little younger. I'm the tall one standing there on the left. But anyway, all these guys here, the guy on the far right standing up there, the bigger guy, he's an orthopedic surgeon. The guy standing next to him was my roommate, and he is the dean of graduate studies at John Brown University. The guy playing a guitar lives in Atlanta, Georgia. He used to pastor. The fella on the far left, he was in the Marine Reconnaissance. He was in the CIA for 10 years. He acted on TV shows. He's actually a pretty well-known guy. His name is Basil Baz. That's his name. His dad's name was Sharky. And so all those guys. And the guy back in the middle, the fellow in the far back, his name was Rex. And the guy that was taking the picture was Jim, the guy I talked about. This is my friend set. Do you know what? We are in a Bible study once a month, and that Bible study is tonight at 8 p.m. That group has stayed together now for over 45 years. We're pretty close together. And all of us were able to speak into each other's lives. We all permitted that to one another. That's the kind of relationships I'm talking about. Think with me. Is Jesus not your friend? Does Jesus not speak into your life? Does not the Holy Spirit convict you? Does He not point out your weaknesses? So how many real friends do you have? Well, real friends are those that you allow to speak truth into your life. A real friend is always honest. Then number four, friendships connect emotionally. A real friend cares about your feelings. Proverbs 27:14. You can relate to this. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as a cursing. How many of you have ever had anybody wake you up early in the morning with a loud voice and it really irritated you? Raise your hand. Okay, that's what the Bible's speaking about. Proverbs 25:20. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. What he's talking about here is a true friend thinks about how their words, their actions, and their responses will affect their relationship. Friends tie their hearts to one another. One writer said it this way, friends learn to know the topography of other persons well enough to know what hurts them or helps them, what inspires them or bores them, what stimulates them or irritates them. Friends put their happiness into their friends' happiness. What does the Bible say? Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. When you are sad, your friend is sad. When you flourish, your friends flourish. The emotional side of friendship is not like marriage, it's not like the family, and yet it's still a very deep relationship. Are you deliberately putting in the effort to know your friends? Jesus ties His heart to us, does He not? The Bible says He suffered all things like us. Why? So that when you come to Him as high priest in prayer, He has complete sympathy and understanding. Everybody needs a friend who will feel your heart, who will not think evil of you, but you can go to them and they're sensitive and they care about your feelings. And then finally, number five, friends sharpen one another. It says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The privilege of friendship is mutual challenge. Think about it. A therapist may give advice, but you don't give it back to him. A supervisor at a job may criticize a worker, but you don't give equal criticism back. But good friends sharpen, or they challenge one another. And let me say this, a real friend, a true friend, is one who will speak against your sin. Let me tell you something, if you've got a friend in sin and you say nothing, then your friendship is hollow. It's not real. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He ate with sinners. He loved sinners. But He died for sinners so that sinners would come to repent and turn from their evil. You're never going to become the person you need to be or can be without the sharpening edge of your friends. It sharpens you the way nothing else can do it. And a real friend will expose the sin that is in your life. If they do that, they are truly a biblical friend. And let me conclude this morning by saying that Christian friendship is greater than what the world can experience. In this sense, the Bible tells us here, add to your faith, in 2 Peter 1, add to your faith brotherly love. There's something that we have that the world doesn't have. That's called brotherly love. What is brotherly love? It is the love of attraction. We're drawn to each other. What draws us to a rose? The beauty of it. What draws us to a barbecue on a Saturday afternoon when you put hamburgers and steaks on the grill? It's always the smell. And what is it that draws Christians to one another? And this is something that God gives, not to a handful, but He gives to the whole church in the world. And what is that? It is the presence of the indwelling Christ. And what to me is so neat about being at Bob Jones University is we have such a diversity here of people culturally and through countries throughout the world. And yet we have the one thing that draws us together, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Jesus in you. And what makes friendships is not because, you know, we like this football team or we're interested in this stuff. But it is Christ, and that's what draws the hearts together, and that's what makes the closest friends. So I hope that as you are here, you will develop healthy, strong friendships that will last a lifetime. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for friendships. In Jesus' name, amen.